Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
One day we'll get that graphic updated. Welcome to episode 342 of Better on Draft. Is that the right number? Am I telling it correct? 342. Thank you. I'm one of your hosts, Dan, here with Rob and Wendy today. Tell me what you're drinking, guys. We'll start with you, Rob.
Today, I have a very special beer. I have $60 nachos from Hoof Hearted out of Connecticut. They also have a place in Columbus. But what's special about it is it's my last beer of drinking the alphabet because it starts with a symbol.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. How long did that take you? You started back in December?
No, February 1st. So it took me about 23 days.
I'm thinking a damp January.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that the one where you get drunk on Christmas Day?
Wet January, which starts right the weekend before Christmas and goes through the end of January.
Absolutely amazing. What do you got over there, Wendy?
I am drinking a mango Brocco nut from Southern Grist. Our friend Gary sent that over to me because I talked about how much I liked it.
Oh, man. Shout out to Gary. Yeah, that sounds – so I keep hearing Brocco. I think broccoli. There's no broccoli in that beer, is there?
No. And I was really bummed because when I first got it, I thought it was going to be like a porter or a brown, and it is not. It is definitely an IPA, and it's delicious.
All right, and I'm over here drinking. I don't usually drink this one too often, but it was available. I've got a Lucumbra Gilded Age Porter. Good middle-of-the-road porter, no 15 adjuncts added to it, so always a great time. All right, so you guys wanted to talk about beer festivals today. Tips and how to pick where you're going, and same with beer travels. Wendy, we're going to start with you since you brought this to our attention.
Well, yeah, so I realized that I have some companion miles I need to use before the end of June. So I started planning a beer trip. And in my research and looking for different festivals to go to and states that I haven't been to, I found an article from Hop Culture, where they talk about 12 beer festivals you should hit in 2024. And we don't necessarily need to go over all of those things, but we will put the link to this on the page so that you guys can go and check it out, because they have some pretty interesting festivals in here. One of them is in Belgium, and it's not actually a festival. It's just all of these places that do
Lambics.
Lambics. That's what I meant to say. Lambics open up their doors, so you get to go to all these places, and you can schedule a bus to take you to all of them. And they only do this festival every 2 years. So it got me thinking about what festivals I've been to and which ones I would really like to go to that I haven't gotten a chance. So I was just wondering kind of what you guys thought. Like, I know Dan, you just went to one in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And Rob was just at one recently here. We saw a picture of him. Was it a banana?
Yes, it was a banana.
So I know that we all festival go. So let's talk about it a little bit.
So Rob, I want you to kick this off. Why the banana costume? I've seen you in this more than once now. What is it with craft beer and dressing like a banana?
Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that just kind of happens, I guess.
How does that just happen?
So this is me and my crew, and that's me dressed as a banana.
Absolutely amazing. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes I like to go to a craft beer festival and dress like a clown or maybe a gorilla, just get the gorilla suit. Got to start a trend with that. So
there it is.
Now you see it. So I don't typically go searching out beer festivals. I can tell you the different beer festivals that I count here on one hand that I've been to. Of course, a couple of them more than once, all but two of them in Michigan. So it's not really something I go out searching for. There's a ton of beer festivals that happen here, especially in the fall, winter, and spring. they're all outdoors. And there's one in particular called the Strong Beer Fest where everything's over 10%. So you think I would be there, you know, first in line to get into that. But it's just something I've never made it out to, whether there's something else going on. It taking place last year at the complete far southeast end of the county, things like that. So outside of the Michigan, I've been to the Fall, Winter, and Summerfest multiple times. You know, I went to that one in New Zealand, which was really nice. It was really hot. There were a couple of things I didn't like about it, so I don't know if I would go to that one again, just because of the way the setup kind of worked.
What made it not work for you?
So there was both an entry fee to get in, and then you had to pay per beer, whether you wanted a half pour or a full pour. So it's like, why are you charging an entry fee if I have to go there and pay per beer? Now, the nice thing was most of the breweries were set up like a bar where they had, they're in a tent with tables, seating, everything like that. But it also made it kind of hard to get up there if you wanted to get something because it was all so crowded due to that. The nice thing they had there too was there were tons of food vendors there mixed in with the different breweries that were there. Like you'd have a couple breweries and a food vendor, you know, more breweries, so forth like that. It was just that paying per beer and paying to get in are the two. I thought it was just a bad combination.
I hear a lot of festivals in Europe, at least, are like that too, where it's just, it's kind of the norm to have to pay for your beers.
Well, there was one here, which I thought was cool. I just never made it to it. In Mesa, they had, used to have pre-COVID Mesa Beer Fest. There was no cost to get in. You just paid for samples of whichever beer you wanted. I think that's a good setup, but charging you to get in is like, it kind of gets you both ways, I feel like.
Yeah, I can see that for, yeah, getting charged twice seems kind of weird. Or if they're going to charge you to get in, then give you tickets for so many samples, that I could see. And then you pay more for more, I guess.
How much was the charge, just out of curiosity?
To get in? 30 New Zealand dollars, I believe. And then beers were $4 for a half a pour and $8 for a full pour.
Is that about normal price at a bar there?
Pretty close. I don't keep too much track of it, like, because, you know, it's New Zealand dollars and our money goes a long way there. But I'm trying to pull up a calculator really quick. But typically, I would pay, you know, if you go to a bar, depending, like the casino would have tall, not just pints, the taller ones for $13.25. And then like a normal bar, a beer would be anywhere between, you know, $8 and $10.
Okay. Okay. So they might've been at a bit of a discount.
Yeah. Well, we were talking, it was like 3 and 6 ounces.
Oh.
So you weren't getting, the cup was small. So it's not like you were getting a pint. It was like $3 or $4 for 3 and $8 for 8.
That could suddenly become a very expensive beer festival.
They had ATMs everywhere, and they had where you could just go tap your card like you're at the store, and they give you cash back. So, yeah, and they only took cash at like half of them. So, yeah, it became kind of expensive, but I knew when to cut off and get out of there just because I didn't want to get too drunk, and it was in the mid-80s. So that was the one hot day I was in Christchurch is when it was when the beer festival happened. I was like, oh, maybe I should bring a hoodie. I go outside. I'm like, nope, it's hot.
Well, you know, it's hot when you think it's hot too.
Yeah. Well, it was humid too. And the sun was just beating down on you. You had to go in the tents, but then it got humid in there. So it was just like a no win situation. The one cool thing I will give them credit for is they had people walking around with both water and sunscreen to give out. Yeah. So it made it really nice. A lot of the breweries had sunscreen to use too. So for idiots like me that didn't think you might need any, it was kind of a lifesaver.
That was one of the things that I really liked about Taste of the Midwest was they had a lot of not only cup rinsing stations, but drinking water stations all over the festival. When I just think a lot of, at least here in Michigan, a lot of our festivals don't have enough water stations.
I agree with that. They were really good at that. They had the water stations too. And then something you guys will probably, you probably wouldn't remember this, but at Joe Louis Arena in the men's bathroom, they had the giant troughs for urinals where you just had to like go stand next to everyone to use it. Those are apparently popular in New Zealand still. And like you go to use the bathroom and it says urinals this way, you know, so you're not using up one of the whatever things. And you go back there, it's just a bunch of troughs. It's like, oh.
I swear in the Bears stadium that it was two-sided even.
Oh, yeah. So you're just facing each
other. You get to stare the other person in the eye. Really assert your dominance there.
So funny enough, I actually have been in those bathrooms at Joe Louis because at most concerts, they will shut down every other men's room and make it a women's room because the women's restroom lines get so long. So I have actually seen the trough, which is, you know, a little scary to say.
Yeah. Nobody wants
not to see in use, props. But
not in use. Yeah, thank God. No one wants to use them.
No one wants to see that.
Yeah, especially if you're staring a guy in the eye. Like I'll just go use the sink, guys. I'm good.
I mean, it's kind of what you're doing. So one of the things, one of the festivals that I went to in Asheville was Above the Clouds by Brahmari. I never say it right. Brahmari Brewing. They did this festival and they had metal tasting cups, which I loved it. I wish that we would get more cool cups like that instead of the disposable plastic ones here in Michigan. Sometimes, I mean, there's some festivals that are longstanding that have an acrylic cup, but it's just a really nice cup. And we didn't have any, you didn't have to worry about any tokens. You didn't have to pay for anything. It was just however many samples you wanted, you got.
The one I was at, dressed as a banana as, that was Winterfest, which is put on by the Indiana Brewers Guild. And it's mostly breweries from Indiana. There might be a few from out of state. It's mostly breweries from Indiana, and there's a ton of them there. It's beautiful. Well, it's not a beautiful venue. It's a very industrial venue. It's like, so it's at the state fairgrounds. It's also during the state fair. It's where they show, I think they show hogs there.
Oh boy.
So, but so it's, you know, it's just a cement floor, and it's very few obstructions, just girders and things holding up the roof basically. But it's perfect for a beer festival. Anyway, they used glass glasses and I've gone to this thing so many times and this was the first year I dropped a glass and I dropped two of them.
Must have been the banana suit.
I think so. It made things slippery.
Yeah. Slippery. Yeah. Just like that.
Banana you needed peel. One of those mittens.
I did.
That you put the cup in.
Holds
the
mitten or a beer sling. You know, it's the bottom part of the banana, you know, where that stupid banana butt thing is. That you don't want to eat. That had like a little pouch to, you know, and I could stuff in there, you know, very funny, haha. But it was perfect for holding that glass when I wasn't using it.
I don't understand what that means.
So that I could put my glass in, you know, the banana butt, the brown
thing. I meant the not using it.
No, they're not using it. Gotcha.
You're at a beer festival. Why are you not using the glass?
Every once in a while you stand around, you know, figuring out where to go next, looking for your next letter because you're drinking the alphabet.
But you usually have a beer in there while you're thinking. You have a beer, a walk around beer to do that. See, you might be doing it wrong.
It's just a little glass. It's just a little glass.
So I want to go back to this alphabet beer thing before we go back to festivals, because were you drinking the alphabet by the beer name or by the brewery name?
By the beer name.
Okay.
The way we do it, we get points. We get points if the beer name starts with the letter you're on. We get points for each word that starts with the letter you're on. And we get points for each time the letter shows up in the beer or brewery name. So there's ways to maximize your points in this thing. And we've got one guy, he does a really good job. Like he plans for this, I don't know, months in advance, starts collecting beers during the project.
I need my beer friends in Michigan here to step up a little bit because this sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. What do you win? What's the prize? Sounds like beer or alcohol poisoning.
We get a crown role in our Discord, which does nothing.
Oh, nice.
And the adulation of many for, you know, minutes.
Great times.
Yeah. Sorry, we've already set a project for March, and that is, I don't think we've given it a name yet, but we have to drink beers in increasing order of ABV.
Oh, geez. Oh. Let me know when you get to Worldwide Stout. I'll help you with that one. I've got a couple bottles.
I've got some Dark Lord stash. I think one of those will come out too.
Who's going to fund the Utopias?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, that's when, you know, going back to, well, you said it's going to be in March, but that'd be a good time to make it out to GABF because that's the time you can get it for free. So instead of having to shell out, God, hundreds of dollars. But it's worth it. I know, Wendy, you've had it. Rob, have you had it previously?
No, I've had the Utopias Worldwide Stout.
Oh, yeah, I've got one or two of those, too. But you haven't had the actual Utopias.
No, I have not.
It is worth it. It's not worth the money, but the taste, it's good. They do pretty well with it. So
yeah, it's worth it when someone shares it with you and you find it free otherwise.
100%. Now, what are some beer festivals you guys want to attend? You know, I just brought up GABF. I've been there a couple of times now. Rob, I don't know if you've been there.
If not, it's on my short list.
It's on your short list. What about you, Wendy? I don't remember if you've been there before or not.
I have not. I was there the week prior to GABF a couple years ago, and it makes me really sad that I didn't get to stay. I'm like, I was trying so hard to figure out how I could stay that extra few days, but yeah, GABF is definitely on the list. I would like to do a Zwanzi Day.
What's that?
That is the sour beer festival, and they only do it in certain places. It's all throughout the country, and they only do it in certain places. There was in Ann Arbor a few years ago, and I didn't get to go, so I was kind of bummed about that. I don't know when the next one is, though.
Yeah, I feel like they've had that around Indiana a couple of times, but we also have Zwanzig Brewing, so I might be thinking of that.
Now, what about you, Rob? I know you said GABF's on your short list.
GABF is on my short list. It's high on it. There's a beer festival in Copenhagen that a bunch of my Discord friends go to. The McKellar Beer Celebration Copenhagen, MBCC. And I would very much like to go there, partially for the beer, but mostly to, you know, hang out with these people in person. And then Oktoberfest in Munich. That's another one that's on the short list. And the people who were in that picture with me at that last beer festival, we're kind of planning the trip to GABF possibly this year, maybe. And then possibly going to Munich the year after. So we're talking about doing a group trip. Some of them were the same people I went to Wisconsin with back in November on a quick beer run to the Mustard Museum.
To the Mustard Museum. God, only in Wisconsin are you going to find something like the Mustard Museum. The one beer festival I still want to get to, and I keep missing out on it. I got the tickets for it. The promoter sent it to. Unfortunately, they said, yeah, you can go. Like, they were terrible at getting back to us like 2 days before, so I couldn't go. And then I had just got back to work in December for it, is the Metal and Beer Fest and Craft Beer Festival. There's one that takes that place out east, I believe, in Philadelphia or Boston, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh each year. And then they started one out here the last couple of years. The first one was in L.A. The one late last year was in Colorado. So that, of course, that goes right up my alley. You know, go and listen to some. And these are like, I think we were looking at it. I don't know if you were with the show yet, Rob. There are bands. We were trying to guess the names based on the logos, like the death metal logos. So that was a lot of fun. But that's the one I really want to go to. You know, I'll go to GABF every year. I'm really close to it, just being where I'm at. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. Surprisingly, it felt like there were less people last year than there were the year before, especially on the Thursday, the first night. So that was kind of interesting. If you compare the pictures I have on our website from 2 years ago to compared to last year, it was a lot smaller. But that is one that's good because you can get beer from everywhere, from all over the country.
I had heard similar comments about it being smaller this year than the previous year. So, yeah.
I guess this is how they used to do it. When we went the first year, all of them were listed. All the breweries were listed. They were placed alphabetically. This year, they were placed by region. And I guess that's how they used to do it. So that was quite annoying trying to find certain ones. Like if you were looking for a specific brewery, I don't know how many times I had to like look at the map to find out where they were just to get to them.
Yeah, it's just kind of that old dilemma. Like, how do you place the breweries? And yeah.
Well, then too, you had the Southwest, which was the smallest. It was Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico, and it was just one group, probably about 10 or 12 breweries in total. But then there was one Arizona brewery all the way on the other side of the floor for some reason in the mountain region. It made no sense whatsoever. So that was the one.
They got placed wrong.
Yeah, they had to. Or because they were the odd one, because the one made perfect two rows on both sides, and you had one left over. So I'm thinking that's why they did it.
Probably.
Yeah, that sounds like a reason. The Winterfest, they have them set up kind of alphabetically. There's four sections. There's four quadrants. We always plan our attack. You know, there's four quadrants. We can do each half of each quadrant, and we have, I don't even remember, 4 hours, I think. So whatever that works out to, we have that much time on each side for each quadrant. But each quadrant is alphabetical and by group. And so you can kind of, if you are looking for a brewery, there's a good chance you're going to find it unless they're a big sponsor. Then they're kind of pushed out to the outer edges or the very farthest reaches of the floor. So that's kind of, it's kind of sucky for the sponsors, but then again, they're usually pretty big. 450 North, for example, is one of them. And they, you know, they're a hype brewery. They make slushies like nobody else. And so there's always a huge line for them, no matter how far out they're pushed.
I just drank their, Grand Theft Mango last night. Man, is that a good beer.
They do make good slushies. They
so honestly delicious.
And their hazies also are really good. They do good beer. I rag on them a bit, but they do make good
beer. Now, talking about the sponsored breweries, you know, the featured breweries, actually just made me think of a thing. Going back to GABF real quick, because I would go there on a media ticket, I would get in there about 45 minutes early. And one day I was over there talking to the I think it was on the Saturday afternoon one, or it might have been either or as the Saturday afternoon or the Thursday session. I was over there talking to the Sam Adams guys, and the line opened, and you could see people full sprinting over to Sam Adams thinking they could get Utopias when they do a time. They do a timed release at like 8:10 on the night session. That's the one it was at now that I'm thinking about, because it was at 8:10. We were just laughing. They were like full sprint coming over there. I've never seen anything like it. And then they didn't want any other beer. They're already there. And they're just like, and they just went somewhere else. I thought that was kind of interesting. Now I know in Michigan, a lot of the breweries do a timed release. Do they do that in Indiana as well, Rob?
Not really. We've had Three Floyds before they upped their production was our big hype brewery. So this is quite a while back. And they would tap something after they kick a keg, and so people would be excited for that, like that word would pass through the festival and then the line would grow again. So yeah, that it's not exactly the same. I think our summer one at the Indiana Microbrewers Festival, which takes place in the summer, and same organization puts it on, mostly a lot of the same breweries, definitely pulling from the same pools. It's a similar vibe, but it's outdoors and on grass, so dropping those glass cups isn't so bad, I guess. Well, we might have plastic out there. I don't remember. It's been a couple of years because of various things coming up. But they have a VIP tent, and they do regular tappings of keg or cask beers.
Oh, nice.
You know, special one-off variants that they'll tap in there.
Now,
but you got to be special to get in there.
You gotta pay for the VIP ticket, which gets you an extra hour of beer drinking that I don't need, and it gets you into that VIP tent, which maybe I do need.
Do they still do that at the Michigan ones, Wendy?
Where you get in they have early? The power hour at the beginning. If you're a Michigan Brewers Guild member, you get in an hour early, which used to be awesome because it was normal, but you were able to get to stuff that you might not be able to get to at other times. But now there's so many people that have purchased the membership just to get in the hour early that the line for the members are actually longer than the regular line. So
because when everybody's special, yeah, nobody is.
It's kind of like pre-check at the airport.
Yeah. That's great.
At least it goes fast. That line, yeah, at least it makes sense for everyone to
You can leave your shoes on.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say I was at the airport one time and I do not have a pre-check and I did not have a first class ticket. And I'm standing at the security next up and the people next to me, first class, like the Delta first class section was right there. I had six people come up and get put before me.
Oh yeah. It's like, yeah, those.
I was so angry. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. At least this point, put me through half of them. Don't make me stand an extra half an hour. Literally our line wasn't moving because there were so many people coming through at that point in time. I was like, damn it, not no first class ticket.
These sucks. VIPs.
Yeah. Hey, if they want to spend $8,000 for a seat, you know, whatever. But
I just thought that was funny. But it does actually happen.
Now, Rob, you had mentioned that you attack them via quadrants.
Yes.
Is there a specific quadrant that you go to first? Like, is there specific breweries, specific styles? How do you approach what you're going to look for at a beer festival?
Winterfest is special because I'm drinking the alphabet every year. I'm doing that project in February. And so that's kind of, and my group knows it. And so they will do advanced scouting for me and stuff like that. Or keep an eye out. Like, we found the greatest pea beer. It was Pom Pom Pomegranate.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's so many points.
Do you get extra points because there are so many P words?
Yes. Yeah, I would have. Except we never found an O beer.
Never found an O beer. I mean, they don't have Oberon there.
No, it was only Indiana stuff, or for the most part, Indiana stuff. Well, but Bell's definitely wasn't there. Yeah, usually. So the first year we did this project, Winterfest was on February 2nd. And I started with no beers, and I had a Z. We went to a bar afterward, and I had a Z there. So it was a pretty good year.
Do you have to do it in order? We need to change the name of this episode to
How to Drink the Alphabet.
Drink the alphabet.
Do you have to do it in order of the alphabet, or can you just, as you find the beer with that letter, you can cross that off?
So we do it in order. The important mechanical part of it is that you choose which of your untapped check-ins count for the game. So you can drink as many beers through the month of February as you want. You can drink whatever you want. And then you choose which of your untapped check-ins to use for the game. Those have to be in the correct alphabetical order to get all the points.
Oh, geez, this is complicated.
I don't ever check my beers in at a festival, though.
Yeah,
you so have this to do one it because we're playing the game.
Exactly. I did no ratings. I see people, they'll take pictures, which makes a lot of sense too. So you take pictures, you do it later. You just check it in later if you because of the game.
That makes sense.
Okay. Cause that's what I would have to do. Cause I literally will try and go back and remember some of the stuff that I drank. I'm horrible at that, especially at a festival. Like, I forget which one I like the best. So because they always ask us what our favorite beer was from the festival, and we used to write it up. So I started taking notes as when I really liked something, I would put it in my phone so that I wouldn't forget which ones I liked.
Yeah. Yeah. If I knew someone was going to ask me afterward, then I would probably do that or at least put tasty notes on my check-ins. But honestly, I use it just as a checklist of these were the beers I tried. And I did include a lot that weren't part of the alphabet game that I drank there. Cause I got stuck on O. That's not that many beers.
That's right. Weird. I never even thought about that. And you're right. I'm trying to think of beers outside of Oberon that would be an O beer, and I just can't think of any.
I think I have one down on my kitchen table, actually. I'll check it and let you know.
Nice. Wendy, how do you approach beer festivals? What do you do? What's your plan of attack when you go?
So I used to plan everything out. I knew which I would look at the list ahead of time, see what I wanted to check out. But now I don't know if I'm just jaded and I just kind of mosey along. And when I see a brewery that I like, I need a beer, I will go up to a brewery. I try to go to breweries that I can't get to on a regular basis when I'm at festivals. I'll go over to my favorite breweries and say hi. But when it comes to trying beer, I'm trying ones that I haven't been to or that I can't get to easily. So I don't know that I really have a plan. I kind of made a joke the first festival back for the Michigan Brewers Guild after COVID was the Detroit Fall Beer Festival. And it was like a family reunion. I probably drank less beer there than I did ever at a festival because we were spending so much time talking to people that we hadn't seen in so long.
Yeah.
So I think that has kind of stayed with me that I had so much fun at that festival that it's more about talking to people that I don't get to see very often, running into beer friends who we only see each other online usually, and trying beers from places that I can't get to.
That is actually part of why I dress as a banana, is I can tell my beer friends who I only see online, hey, I'll be the banana.
That's pretty good.
So come say hi. Yes,
now, I've been taking a different approach since, maybe it's not different. Since I'm typically only going to GABF anymore, you know, it's such a big thing. I've been starting to pick out breweries that are in states I would never make it to or just out of the way. Like for the last 2 years, for example, I've made it a point to drink all of the breweries from Wyoming that are there. And then I went to the North Dakota breweries. There was supposed to be an Alabama brewery there, but they no-showed. I was asking the people next to them. They're like, we have no idea. They just didn't appear. Like, they just never showed up. But I think that's the best way to do it because I have found some amazing breweries. In fact, I wrote an article last year that's posted on betteronDraft.com of 5 breweries you didn't know you needed to get to. There's some very good breweries out there that I think just fly under the radar that that makes it really worthwhile. And then usually on the second day, when the medals have all been awarded, they have a section for all the medal winners. That's the other one to go to because then you can try the beers that are actually winning the awards that year. I got to try the gold winning Oktoberfest, for example, or Marzen. I forget which one it was under, the gold winning stout, things like that. It's just, and it's usually beers you haven't heard of. So it makes it a good way to, number one, make contact with these breweries, and number two, just to get to try what are considered some of the best beers out there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do quadrants and all, but we still don't stop at every brewery in every quadrant because that's a lot of breweries. Like I think there were 80-some breweries at this thing. So even over the course of 4 hours, if you're getting one beer from each brewery, and that's assuming you didn't see something interesting, you know, on tap there. Like I saw a banana beer a couple of things down, and I was dressed as a banana, right? So
I had to,
but they had run out by the time I got there. That was kind of sad.
I didn't see you and save you some.
I know.
Like, hey, this guy needs some banana beer.
So we will look ahead, and of course, people are scouting for alphabet letters for me, and so there is some looking ahead. But there are definitely some breweries, some that are technically local, but a pain in the butt to get to, and then some that are not local that I always look for too.
We have a rule too about waiting in line, especially at Taste of the Midwest was a good example of that, because like Toppling Goliath always had a line. It didn't matter what it was that you were going to wait in line for, that whether they had a special release going on or not, it was a crazy line. Sam Adams with the Utopias, the line was crazy long. That's the only line I waited in at Taste of the Midwest. I was like,
it's worth it. It's
that worth one it. Is going to be worth it. But everything else, I'm like, I would rather, there's too much good beer out there to wait in a line that long. And yeah, I exactly. found some of my favorite breweries just by doing that, by going to the ones without the lines. Yeah. So that's how I found Taxman, actually, at a festival in Indiana. Because the lines around them were so long, I went to them and I fell in love. Man, they have some damn good beer.
That's
my next beer is this peach brandy barrel exemption.
Nice. And you know, I agree with that, Wendy, the line waiting. I feel like everyone's past that, but people still do it. Perfect example, back at GABF last year, and I think I talked about this on one of the shows before, Russian River had two lines, one for Pliny the Elder and one for everything else. You could walk right up and get anything else that you wanted, but you had to stand in line in a line of like 30 people deep for 1 ounce pour of Pliny the Elder. You know, is it worth it at that point? I know it, for a long time people consider it the best IPA. Is it really anymore though, when you have so many out there? I think the same thing with Heady Topper too. That used to be the one everyone like screamed out, like, you have to get it, you have to get it. He sent it to us. I'm like, yeah, this is good, but this tastes like everything else that's out there currently.
But yeah, it was one of the first.
What, do you think it's better?
I don't know if I would agree with that. I do. So my favorite is actually Focal Banger. But I do think that it is definitely still a little above some of the other ones that are out there. But again, it's the same debate that we're having in Michigan right now with M43, that because of M43, everyone's like Old Nation is the haze king in Michigan, but there are a lot of people that think that they're not, that there are other breweries that are out producing them in hazies now. So
they might be, but even like M43 was pretty well sought after from Indiana even. So yeah.
Yeah. It even reached out here. So,
well, they're the OG of the Midwest hazies. Let's be honest. Like yeah. you cannot deny that they are the ones who made that style super popular here.
Yeah. I would agree with that. They are the Heady Topper. It's funny. And whether they're the best anymore, they were certainly in their early.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of their brown. I'd rather have that brown that they make. Of course, you know,
Electron
I'm not exactly.
Brown.
Yeah, that's it.
So funny enough, that started out, the first time they made that was a Diva brew.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you help make it? Were you there?
No, I was sick. So I couldn't go.
That's probably
but
good you weren't
I did
there.
Go and taste it, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that one's really good. And, you know, I feel bad for breweries. You know, I think we talked to Travis about that previously. He wants to make other beer, but the problem is, everyone wants to buy M43. So, you know, they have to focus so much on that. They, you know, and people don't focus on the other stuff when they make absolutely good beer around, you know, across the board. So, you know, they can't make as much of that brown when they have to just keep cranking out M43 and variants of M43, just like
strawberry.
That. Strawberry.
Strawberry. So at the Detroit Fall Beer Festival, I think it was last summer, they did not bring M43. They only brought traditional German beers.
Smart people.
Because like, hey, try all their brewers else. are like professionally trained from German brewers. Like they're amazing. They have really good brewers there that can make amazing beer that is not a hazy IPA.
I did bring back not hazies from Michigan from Old Nation before. So I have also done that.
Yeah, you got to try something else. I get it. It's a good beer, but, you know, try something else. Give these guys a chance to show you what else they can do. You know, the end all of be all of beer is not the hazy IPA as much as some people want to pretend. So just give it a try. You know, I feel bad for these companies or these breweries that have to go through that. I'm trying to think of some other examples. Like, think about Dragon's Milk from New Holland.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they made, was it the Poet?
The Poet is delicious.
And Cabin Fever. You don't see those beers very often anymore on shelves. No. It's only Dragon's Milk, and Dragon's Milk is everywhere.
They have Mad Hatter, too. I think that's one of theirs. It was pretty good,
yeah,
too.
Mad Hatter is theirs. Because they had a couple different variations of the Mad Hatter. My favorite beer by New Holland is actually the Black Tulip. It's their triple.
I've never even seen
that one before. Fantastic. It's so good. So good.
It's part of our tradition. We go up to Grand Rapids over Labor Day weekend, and we stop in New Holland and have lunch there on the way in.
And get trash from the...
Visit their brew pub. Well, one of us has to drive still. The other one is not.
Picking up those growlers of... of dragon's milk. And
but I do know that we're going to be learning some pretty heavy board games on that first day, so try to keep some wits about us.
No, that's fair. You can't play Catan if you're like three sheets to the wind.
Yeah, no, that's one I probably could play.
When I haven't either. I've watched people play it. I prefer playing Secret Hitler. That's a more fun
yeah. Okay. Game.
Do you guys not know that game?
I know Secret Hitler. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun game. Wendy, love to teach you sometime. It actually is pretty fun.
It's my favorite game right now is Rainbow Pirates.
What is that? Oh my God.
It's a game that we can play with the kids. And I find it so fun that it's ridiculous. I introduced my best friend to it and she was like, I don't know about this. And by the time we finished the second game, she was like, we're going to play one more of these before we move on.
Is it a board game?
No, it's a card game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, card games are fun, especially when you're drinking.
I'm going to strongly suggest a game called Camel Up. It's a wonderful board game. It's a camel racing game. You bet on the camels, but they stack, and so the camels will move each other, and it's hilarious. I can send these to you later to Wendy.
I'm like, why do I not have a pen to write that down?
And the Quacks of Quedlinburg, which is you're building potions and you're pulling little tokens out of a bag in order to build potions. And that one's pretty fun too. So those are good games to play with kids that won't drive a parent nuts.
Not like Hungry Hungry Hippos where you just hit the thing as hard and as fast.
It's just so loud. Yeah.
My niece sent me a game for Christmas that has a little tiny hands, and you have to do all these different challenges with the tiny hands.
Oh, I can see that going bad really
fast. Yeah, I was like, I don't know about this one.
So here's something we're talking about that springs up a good point that I'd actually been thinking about earlier. We were doing a different event, you know, like playing board games, you know, hanging out somewhere. No matter what it is, some type of activity, does that affect the style of beer that you drink?
Sometimes, yes. We did just have a board game weekend a little while ago, and a couple of people used it as an excuse to clear out their cellar. Which that there were seven of us, I think, eight of us. So that splits pretty good. And then there were some people who just brought interesting stuff they had.
But like, for example, for you, like say you're having a card game night or hanging out with the family, drinking some beers. Are you going to drink a lighter beer? Are you going to go pretend it's wet January? does that affect like what you drink for depending on what you're doing?
100%. Yeah.
Does it? For sure. I must be in the minority because, you know, we've told this story a couple times. The other Rob that used to be part of the show for a long time. And I were with Ken at the Summer Beer Fest several years ago in Michigan. And Ken's like, whatever you guys do, don't go around drinking 10% beers. And the first thing we were drinking was a Griffin Claw Flying Buffalo. Like immediately we drank like every variant that they had, like right off the bat. And you know, maybe it's just me. That's the kind of beer I like. I'm not a big IPA fan. I'm not a big lager fan. I'm not a Pilsner fan. You know, I like darker beers. I like browns. I like stouts. I like porters, that sort of thing. So, yeah, if it's outside, I'm probably drinking a stout. You know, if it's 110 degrees here in Arizona, I'm drinking a stout. It's just the way it goes. So I guess maybe it's because I don't have a big variety of beers that I like. And the few that I do, like, it's hard to get an ESB here. If I want an ESB for something on the lighter side, they're just hard to find. Not a lot of places make them.
Well, they're hard to find everywhere.
Yeah, that's absolutely
it's true. So unfortunate, too. They're so good.
I have an easier time finding them in Hawaii than I do anywhere around here. It's kind of ridiculous. But that's just, it makes it tough, you know? So maybe, yeah, I'm drinking a 9% stout because it's what I like to drink. So I'm definitely in the minority with that. I'm not cracking open a Ultra or a PBR. I'll drink a PBR once in a while, but.
There's one place in town I can count on them having an ESB on cask. Mm-hmm. And it's about a mile bike ride, and I will do that on my birthday. I'll bike there. I will have an ESB, and there's a great bagel sandwich place nearby.
Oh, nice.
And so I'll get those to go and go sit out on, you know, a bench somewhere and have a nice cask pulled ESB and a bagel sandwich and then bike back home.
But only on your birthday?
Pretty much. Well, I would do it if I was down there too. It's an hour away.
Oh, I thought you said a mile away.
Oh,
an hour by bike. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit different. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned cask pull. So you were telling me a story about someone you know in New Zealand, because I had actually mentioned that they had hand pulls at the festival, which is awesome. Of course, I was drinking all of those before I moved on. Tell me a little bit. I kind of got the gist of it, but tell us a little bit about what you found out they actually do with those down there.
I'll do the best I can. So there's a couple ways to finish the beer. Like we are familiar with finishing it in a keg, and then you will like pump it full of CO2 so that way it's carbonated appropriately, and then it goes through the taps properly. Casks is a gravity feed type of a deal. So it won't be as carbonated. It'll have whatever the natural carbonation is. It won't be like force carbed or pressure carbed. But then it's kind of gravity feed. I know I'm getting some of this wrong, but I think the New Zealand ones are bladder fed, which basically it's like wine in a box type of a deal. So you squeeze the bladder in order to get the beer to come out. So it's
so disappointing. I wish you wouldn't have like ruined the illusion for me, you know, kind of like telling me Santa's not real, because it was, well, then we got casks here. Like I'm like all excited. And then you're like, no, they're in a bladder.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a problem so much. Like it's fine. It's still a novel way to get your beer, right? It's mm-hmm. And it does taste different. It's different from when it's force carved and pulled out of a tap.
That I do agree with. I've always been a big fan of cask ale. I like going to London just because it's easy to get there. It just makes a beer different, I think. What about you, Wendy? Do you prefer cask? What do you prefer?
No, I like carbonation.
Really?
I do. I always feel like it's flat when I get cask beer. Well, I guess I can't really say that, because there are times when I think it tastes better. It brings out the flavor. But for the most part, no, I'd rather you just carbonated it for me. I like the fizzy stuff.
Like, I can't imagine a hazy on cask, how that would work out.
I'm trying to think if I've seen one. There is probably one at the Cask Ale Festival at some point.
I'm sure someone's done it. How could you not?
How could you not? Yeah, we've seen everything at Cask Ale Festivals. Those are actually kind of fun. And it's always fun to see more and more breweries bring casks, going back to the festival point. There was a short period there where it seemed like half the breweries had one that they would tap at a certain time. So that was always cool. I think it kind of faded out again, unfortunately, especially after COVID. But I know the problem with that is if you don't have a beer engine, it's going to go bad if you don't serve the whole thing. So I think that's part of it as well. How do you guys feel then about sorry, Rob, did you have something?
Well, okay. So a couple. So Winterfest, I mentioned the summer one. There's the VIP tent that has the variant, the single barrel type variant things that'll be out there. And at Winterfest, they do that, but it's not in the VIP tent. They do it for the VIPs first, you know, for that first hour. But then at the end, it's for all of us plebeians. We can go get our beers from, you know, our coffee, toffee, coconut, caramel, wonderful, delicious things that have everything thrown into them. We can go get those pulled off of there. And they'll have a couple. This time they had, I think, only one beer engine. And then they also had a hop water station. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. And I think a couple places were taking advantage of the hop water station even. So I think that even rotated throughout the festival.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I've never seen that at a festival. Have you, Wendy?
No, I have not. Yeah, I think it would be awesome, especially for the designated drivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. And then the other big, we had a cask brewery here for a number of years. They are no longer here, sadly. They were right on a bike trail too, which I'm really sad that they're gone now. But yeah, that was their main thing, was that they brewed in casks, and they served from casks. They'd have a couple kegs too.
But what was the name of that place?
Union Brewing.
I think I've been there.
I still have at least a coaster, and I think I have a sticker from them.
There's a brewery in Seattle that is all cask as well. I actually went there probably, what is this, 2024, probably 2019, 2020, somewhere in there. went to the Cask brewery. They're absolutely amazing. So I wish more breweries could do that. And maybe it's too niche of a thing, but man, if there were more cask specific breweries out there, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. Or just more casks around town even.
Yeah. If they had one. Yeah. Even if they had one beer engine, there used to be a great brewery just down the street from me that unfortunately closed. Me and Kenneth went in there when he came out years ago for the Royal Rumble, that they had two beer engines and there was always something different on it. So it's always nice to be able to just get something like that. I don't know why more don't, you know, even if it's just one. I mean, it'd be nice to have just for a little bit of variety, because I was actually getting to this before we started talking more about the cask one in Indiana. You know, what they made here for to try and match that is the good old nitro beers. Are you guys fans of nitro beers at all?
So I've had a few beers on nitro that I have said this did not need to be on nitro. And then I've had some that really do benefit from being on nitro. So yeah, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's usually good.
What about you, Wendy?
I'll agree with that. There's some that I'm like, I don't see what the big deal about this is. But then there's other ones that I'm like, ooh, that made that way better.
It does bring out the flavor.
I think, right, the caramely, you know, really malty beers, I think, just benefit well from the nitros. So those dark
stouts. Yeah, it makes them all nice and creamy.
Yeah. I've had a couple of IPAs on nitro, and I don't think they need to do that anymore.
Nitro IPA. The most random one I've ever had is Kilkenny Nitro. I was like, I didn't know if this really needed to be on this. It was kind of weird.
So I wonder, though, if you do an IPA on nitro, does it make it taste more like a milkshake IPA?
Oh.
With that creaminess to it? Because
it did make it creamier, but it was still definitely an IPA. Milkshake IPA on nitro, that would be interesting.
So, because I'm a big fan of a milkshake IPA, just because I like the mouthfeel of it.
Mm-hmm. What is the mouthfeel of a milkshake IPA? Because I think of like Pine Sol and milk mixed together.
No,
I get the picture of.
You're not getting good milkshake IPAs there.
You are not. No, definitely not. The mouthfeel of a milkshake IPA should be like the creaminess, like the beers with high lactose in them, like the stouts and stuff like that, that feel, you know what I'm talking about? That
it
feel
makes me kind of silky and
yeah. Yeah.
No, that should not be it. No, no, sir.
So I like that.
Well, good. I'm glad there's more for you guys, because milkshake, I tried one once. I accidentally ordered one when I was at Bottle Logic. I went in there and ordered like a flight of, Ken would have hated this. I ordered like a flight of like 12 beers, and it was like 11 stouts. And I accidentally ordered a milkshake IPA instead of one of the other stouts. I was like, what the hell is this? I tasted it. I was like, nope. Like that one can go back. I'm not doing that.
So you're saying that there's this guy that I'm following on TikTok now that is tasting beers until he finds one he likes.
Oh boy.
And I'm there for it. I think it's hilarious, because that's how I taught myself to like IPAs, was tasting stuff I didn't like. And it took me 3 or 4 years of trying a whole bunch of different IPAs before. Now, if you look at my flights, they're usually IPA heavy, but mainly because that's what you can get. I'm going to say that, because the stout is definitely still my favorite style, but every time this guy does it, he does that face that my grandma does when she forgets that she doesn't like beer and wants to try mine. So I laugh every time. I'm like, I'm waiting, because he's going to find something that he likes. I know he will.
So yeah, well,
he doesn't like a beer at all.
He should try a Frambois.
No, I don't know if he's done that yet. He's tried. Somebody told him to try a West Coast IPA. I'm like, why would they even do that to you? You don't like beer in the first place, and they said try a West Coast IPA, jerk.
You need a torpedo IPA. He could probably find it.
Or you need a torpedo.
But he tried Yingling and was like, nope.
What?
Wow.
How about he said it wasn't as bad as the other ones, but he still didn't like it. He still made that face.
Yingling's Hershey beer, that Hershey Porter, is delicious. It's so good.
See, I like it, but I don't think that it tastes as much like chocolate as everybody makes it out to be.
No, I think it, well, okay, but that's because Hershey's doesn't really taste like chocolate either.
That's true.
But it does taste like Hershey's.
You just went up 3 points in my book, Rob. I'm still very angry with Hershey's that Cadbury had to change their recipe in the United States.
Wait, they did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a big thing a few years ago.
What happened? I'm curious now, because are we talking about the eggs with the cream in the middle that looks like a real egg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't taste the same anymore as they used to. And the Cadbury chocolate that you can get in the United States is different than the Cadbury chocolate in England. I know this because I have friends who have brought me Cadbury chocolate back from England so that I could taste test it because I didn't believe it.
Oh, that's absolutely terrible.
No, and Cadbury chocolate is 100 times better than Hershey's, in my opinion. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Hershey's, that I said that, because you're like the all-American chocolate bar, but
I've gone through all of my Swiss chocolate that I brought back from Switzerland.
Oh, time for another
trip. There was a lot of it. Yeah, time for another trip. I don't, like, I'll still eat the Hershey's stuff. Like, it's perfectly acceptable chocolate. It's just...
Gas station.
Exactly. It's chocolate of convenience. How's that?
Yes.
And here I can't tell you the last time I had a chocolate bar. I feel kind of left out here. Now the Cadbury eggs, I'll eat that anytime. I wish those.
It's the center of those that I love.
Man,
Cadbury actually did a Cadbury. There was a company that did a Cadbury egg beer in England. And Derek, if you're watching this, I never got that beer. You were supposed to hook me up.
Derek, get on this, man.
Come on, man.
We need to try this.
I don't know if they're doing it again, but it was 1 year and I was like, hey, can you get Holly to send this to me? Because I need it in my life 100%.
Hopefully you're listening, Derek, because we're going to have to have a conversation.
I know. I'm actually going to send this to him and be like, hey, what's up, buddy?
What minute, style of beer was it? On.
It's got to be. I believe it was a stout. I'm going to look it up right now.
Chocolate IPA. Let's go. I mean,
yeah, that would be interesting. A chocolate IPA.
I'm sure it's coming down the pike somewhere. It's got to be.
I'm sure it exists somewhere.
I'm sure it exists somewhere. If there's anything you can put in it, it's probably in an IPA. You know, glitter. I've seen glitter in an IPA. Oh, yeah. You know what? Actually, you know, we were just talking about cask IPA. I did have a cask IPL before. That was actually pretty close. That was at a brewery in Albuquerque. I was going to say Santa Fe, but it was in Albuquerque. Very interesting. It really just tasted like a flat lager. Sure. If I'm being honest.
It wasn't even really hoppy.
It wasn't even hoppy. It was like a flat room temperature lager. So...
Yeah, I don't know all the mechanics of a cask. I wonder if they could continue to dry hop while it's in there.
I would maybe. That's a good question. Because
that could help.
I could see the last bit of it being probably too hoppy, maybe.
There's no such thing.
There's no. Oh, hold on.
You're getting into celly drippings at that point.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Go ahead.
So you're not going to believe this. This was actually a Goose Island beer.
What?
The British outlet of the Chicago-based brewery produced the beer for the UK, a 4.5% ABV stout, which, for the record, does not contain any actual cream eggs, was created by Goose Island's UK's head brewer, Andrew Walton, who tossed cocoa nibs, cacao, however you say it, vanilla beans into a recipe that also included malted barley, oats, wheat, and lactose in an attempt to match the flavor and texture of the classic Easter egg. So this was in 2021 that this happened.
Yeah.
So it was.
Didn't we have Goose Island on here around 2021? Maybe it was 2022, but I didn't know about this.
I think it might have been 2020 that we had, because they were on during the pandemic, weren't they?
Oh yeah. Okay. That's a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was right at I think it was at the beginning, but. This is the UK's branch of Goose Island that did it. So you couldn't get it here, which I think is bullshit.
If I'm they could saying. Somehow distribute that in chocolate eggs.
The beer right? in chocolate eggs. Wow. That
yeah, actually like instead of cans or something.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I would pay so much money for that.
There's got to be a way, because I know when I was in Iceland years ago, you could get candy that had vodka in it, like in the center of it.
Like you can get that here.
Can you get that here too?
Oh, so yeah.
There has to be a way to put beer. I don't know what the laws are for that, where you're selling these, but it's got to be a thing. There's no way it isn't.
I want like a ostrich egg sized egg of beer.
Like oh, ostrich yeah. egg size.
Comes with a pint of beer inside it.
Yeah.
That could get messy. I could see that. Then the egg breaks and your beer just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw a Hallmark movie where they did like a scene inside the chocolate eggs. So I'm sure they could put like a can of beer inside your chocolate egg that you have to break the egg open to get the beer. I would totally pay for that.
Okay. Or a chocolate rabbit around Easter time. That'd be good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have some beer inside the chocolate rabbit. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Like, here we go.
But then when you bite the ear off.
Yeah, that's what you drink out of.
Yeah. It's a great idea. Merry Christmas or Happy Easter, kids.
No, that one's Daddy's rabbit.
No, that's Dad's rabbit. That's Dad's
rabbit. Oh, man. The things you could actually do with this kind of... You could have one for all holidays. Like, it's kind of like the Reese's, the Reese's peanut butter, like the trees for Christmas and... You could just do this with all of them. Like, Merry Christmas, kids. It's 8 a.m. I'm just going to eat my chocolate tree.
Oh, you need to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah, I'm in for this now. Try to sell it. I don't know how you would actually do this. It's got to go through a brewery or something. I can't imagine otherwise.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, good question. What kind of beers do you guys like during the holidays? Easter is coming up. Is there a specific style of beer you like to drink during that time? Wendy, we'll start with you. Everyone's quiet.
I was thinking, I'm like, well, it's spring, so I would start looking for spring beers, but I am a firm believer that stout season is every season. So I would probably pick a stout.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point. You know, everyone's like, it's IPA season. By saying that means there shouldn't be IPAs in the wintertime. Get the hell out of it. Or no, they say it's stout season. I'm like, and that point, there's also an IPA season, so don't make IPAs in the winter. Get out of here with that. We do need
more the people stout. That say it's stout season are the ones that believe that Guinness is a thick beer.
Yes, that's right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. What about you, Rob? Is there a specific style of beer you like for Easter?
You know, it's Oberon's usually released like a month later, so it's not that, but it's starting to get into that style, almost into the wheat beers. I guess I start looking for saisons, farmhouses, and things like that. The you know the funky, but still clean tasting beers. So that's probably about what I start looking for around then.
Those can be good beers. Those can be really. At least for me, hit or miss. They usually do wild fermentation, if I'm thinking correctly, with those.
Yeah, and they certainly can. And some of those, exactly, some of those are really funky, and some of them, you know, are just right there in the wheelhouse of where they should be. And yeah, it's I don't know. I enjoy the variety that you get in that style, just because some of them are more wild than others.
Yeah, I'm thinking open fermentation too, where like leaves and crap fall into the. you know exactly what I'm talking about.
But. I think they try to avoid that, but yeah, you know, bats and birds like to roost in the places where they do that open fermentation.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine. For me, God, it's stouts all the time. Or a good barley wine, especially in the wintertime, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, I'll do a good barley wine. Those seem harder and harder to find these days, too. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, I can't remember the last time I saw Sierra Nevada's barley wine. A lot of places just don't seem to make it like they used to. I wonder if that fad's starting to go away, or maybe people just weren't buying it.
So I think you will find the core of people who say barley wine is life. There's a hashtag, #BIL.
I did not know that.
So there are definitely people who love the barley wines. I sometimes like them and then usually regret them the next day.
Why is that? Do they make you too drunk or what's going on?
Yeah, they seem to just hit really hard. Usually, so there's one I'm thinking of specifically, Pillar of Beasts from Brie Floyd's, which is delicious. I'm pretty sure it's a barley wine, but it's really, really caramely. And it just goes down way too easy for whatever percent it is, like 13%.
Oh, geez.
It just goes, and I find a lot of them are like that. Or you find the really hoppy one that does not. Yeah. Okay. Pillar of Beast is a barley wine and it is 13.7%. So maybe that needs to be part of my March plan towards the middle or end of the month.
This sounds like it should be part of the wet January.
Yeah, it would have been if I had any on hand during then. Yes. Right. It's their barley wine with salted caramel, vanilla, beans, and cocoa nibs. It's really good, but yeah, it's just
might be a little too good.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think it's too good. It's like drinking two beers.
No, there's no such thing. It's one beer. It counts as one, no matter what you're doing. There's no, right. No, you know, that's a good thing you actually bring up. You know, in New Zealand, on the cans and the bottles, it has to tell you how many like average drink or normal drinks it is. And they have to tell you at the bar too. So like if you order like a 10% beer, they have to tell you, oh, by the way, that's like three regular drinks, just so you know. Like thanks for making me feel bad.
What's a regular drink?
I don't know.
Because that's my regular drink.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it says it on all of it. So I'm like, yeah, thanks. I'll be back to order another one in 10 minutes.
So
I can go for a high score.
Yeah, going for the high score today. Go ahead. What is
that? That I had a beer recently. I did the paint night at Coonan's and they had a damp beer. And I was like, I've never heard of that. What is that? And she said, well, it's like a cross between an amber and a Hefeweizen. Well, you know, a Hef is my favorite style of all time. So I'm like, well, I need to try that. So I started doing some research when I got home because I was like, damn, this is delicious. And apparently it's the German version of a California Common.
Okay.
So it's a steam beer that uses the yeast for the Hef or a Belgian yeast. So it was delicious. I was very surprised by that.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
And what did they call it?
It's a damp beer. D-A-M-P-F-B-I-E-R.
I thought you said E-I-R. Damp, like D-A-M. Damp. Yeah, I was like, what?
Damp.
Yeah, it's that or a damn beer. Give me that damn beer.
Right. Give me that damn beer.
Talking about the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, that's a fun place to visit. There's so much damn stuff down there.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to go there on the tour and be like, sir, is this a goddamn? And they're like, please leave. Like, please leave the tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a place up in Oscoda that I used to go to camping all the time, and it was right down the street from the dam store because it was in between two dams, and it's the dam store.
Yeah, you got to own that stuff there.
Hell yeah!
Every damn thing,
every damn.
Oh yeah.
The only thing I think of when I think of Oscoda, Michigan, there used to be an Air Force base there back in the day. It was pretty interesting.
It was actually right outside of Oscoda, wasn't it?
I think so. Somewhere
in Alice or something like that.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool if you actually get a chance to go there. Yeah, I think that's what it was. But yeah, awesome place to go to.
Our junior ROTC program did a flight out of there.
Oh, that's super cool. I had been there. I got to go on the planes, but we didn't fly anywhere. It was a good time back in the day. That was probably the 80s, thinking back to it.
I didn't get to do the Wurtsmith one because they closed down before, because that was a senior class trip for the ROTC. But we did the flight out of Selfridge. So
that was cool. Now, Wendy, you were in ROTC.
I was.
Did you actually join the military?
Air Force Junior ROTC. No, because I was too short to fly a plane.
Wait, you can be too short to fly a plane?
Mm-hmm. You have to be a certain height to be a pilot. I know. So you also have to have a certain eyesight.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Almost. Fun. You could be a flight engineer. There's other positions that you could do, but I was devastated.
Oh, that sucks. That's
those
awesome
cockpits only best. Come in a certain amount of sizes, and you can only adjust the seat so far.
Like, I'm not even sure what else you do in the Air Force if you're not flying planes. I feel like you just, like, hang out and do whatever. It's probably, that's right. Probably should have joined.
I mean, they have to have people to run everything else. There's a lot of shit that you can do.
Planes don't just go.
The whole reason I wanted to join was because I wanted to be a pilot, so.
Oh, man, that's actually pretty awesome, though.
I could have followed it and become, like, gotten my license, but that's expensive, man.
Is it?
Yeah, it's expensive to be a pilot.
You can't. There's all sorts of rules about drinking, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you're like, in fact, I just read something.
Maybe this turned out okay.
Yeah, there was a pilot sometime last year had, like, a blood alcohol of like 1.18 or something, like a commercial pilot. It's like, oh boy, like that's who you want flying your plane because it messes with you worse. I assume that's probably in not the pressurized cabins, but in like the unpressurized, it makes it really bad. Same with, I guess, NutraSweet, whatever NutraSweet's made out of, messes with you like that too. So there's a lot of rules when it comes to that.
True story.
Yeah. You know, the old NutraSweet. I don't even think they use that anymore.
They shouldn't be able to.
Well, what's the other one they use now? In like diet soda? Aspartame? I think it's aspartame that they use, which is just as bad. It's like, here you go. Drink your diet soda. Now, I wonder if they could make a beer out of that. Maybe a NutraSweet beer?
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, the whole process of beer means there's sugar in it. So I don't know that you can really make a diet. Your diet beer is a seltzer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to get the, you know, get the extra.
It's not going to ferment.
That's what I was wondering. Is it actually going to ferment or not if you do that? You guys are like, no, this is ridiculous.
Why it's not going to ferment. No, definitely not. But the lactose doesn't ferment either. And that's why it's in there. Milk sugar.
That's why we put milk sugar in IPAs. Jesus.
They go in everything now.
Right? No. God, you guys in your IPAs, I don't even know what to do anymore.
You got to lactose everything.
No.
I like almost all beer. Everyone's always like, what's your favorite style? And I'm like, which one are you pouring?
Like whatever's in my hand.
It really
does. I mean, obviously, there's things.
It gets cyclical, like the season matters.
Yeah, it does not. Not in my opinion.
Let's go ahead. Go ahead.
The season matters as to my favorite now, like my favorite style right now would be, it might depend on the season. Like sometimes a stout, I really, really want a stout, and that's usually in the winter. Other times, I would be happy to drink a stout, but I wouldn't necessarily pick it out of everything in my fridge.
Wow. So you are one of those people that goes by that. So you think there is a stout season?
It's just some beers, like, so if I'm going to sit in my hammock with the dog out back in the sun, then a nice wheat beer is kind of perfect.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I would still have a bottle of Bottle Logic out there.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, that pastry stout with three different adjuncts in it, that's probably what I'd be sipping on.
Yep. He's sitting out on the patio. It's 110 degrees. Like, let's crack open this 15% beer. Who cares?
With Lucky Charms marshmallows and peanut butter.
There is Bottle Logic actually made a beer with Lucky Charms marshmallows. And I was like, it was way too sweet. I tried. I was like, oh, my God. Like, even I have limits. Like, yeah. I will never drink.
A brewery near here did that, and my buddy got a bunch of us each 4 packs. And I did manage to trade a bunch of them away, so it was okay.
Yeah, I don't know if those belong in beer. That was a little too much. Put some
I haven't tried it, so I can't.
You would try it. Yeah, well, I tried
it. I would try it.
I tried it too, yeah. And I was like, nope, like never again. In fact, they took it back and gave me something else because it was, I just got a 5-ounce pour of it. And even the bartender was like, I'm going to just have you try this first. If you don't try it, you're getting something else. Because yeah. They were like, yeah, this is kind of rough. Now, I want to go back to one more thing. We'll probably wrap it up here pretty soon. I want to go back to the festivals and the beer traveling. Where do you guys have planned? What's your next planned trip? I know, Wendy, you were talking. You got a lot of miles to use. What's your next trip you have on deck?
I don't know yet. I am searching for the next trip to do. I will say, so I found this water bottle that has all 50 states on it, and you put a sticker on every time you go to that state. So I decided instead of just going to the state, I had to drink local beer in this state. So I still have quite a few spots to hit. So I'm trying to pick something on one of those states.
Yeah, that is a good deal. I'm surprised. Normally you have like the next 5 trips planned out. So
I know things are so crazy with Graham right now. I'm having a hard time making decisions. I do I don't remember when, but I do have a trip to Tulsa, Oklahoma coming up. Tulsa. So I will, definitely be saving that one to drink beer there.
Is this a beer trip?
No, it's a conference.
One of the first things they told me when I went to Tulsa is don't spell it backwards. And then the second one was to try the, it's something corn, fried corn. I think it's fried corn. And it's basically these creamed corn balls that they deep fry. So they're like hush puppies, but with creamed corn in them.
Oh boy.
Delicious. So good.
And avoid the gangs out there. I think they have those
at the pizza place by me.
Possibly, but this apparently Tulsa.
Is that thing there? Okay.
What about that?
So if you get out while you're there,
yeah.
For me, so I'm going to New Jersey next week.
All right.
That's for work, not for pleasure. There's no like the beer. Rules in New Jersey are kind of weird, but I'll be up near the New York border, so I can just pop over to New York and go to a brewery without having to deal with whatever those weird rules are.
What are the rules in New Jersey?
I don't know what's still going on or has been changed, but they used to have to give you a tour before they could pour beer. This tour... It could be anything from them, you know, gesturing broadly, like, this is our brewing equipment. Here's a beer.
Wow.
But the other one, so this apparently has changed. There's very few liquor licenses in New Jersey. So most restaurants and stuff don't serve liquor or beer or anything. But they're BYOB. They didn't used to be able to advertise that they're BYOB. So you'd have to bring your own and then ask. And the first time I was there, I learned about this because, of course, I'm interested in this sort of thing. And I had stopped at the liquor store and I was getting Subway on my way back to the hotel. And I said to the lady behind the Subway counter, hey, can I bring my own beer in here? And she didn't care, right? She's just hourly working behind the counter at Subway. So she said, sure. So I had a nice beer in the Subway in New Jersey. So that was pretty okay.
It's the way to do it there. I can't believe there are still places that make you take a tour just to have beer.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, like, what's even happening?
The tour is, you know, that grand gesture of this is our brew house and that type of thing. So they really are just paying it lip service, but they have some other things too. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know that it has led to this part of New Jersey not having breweries.
That's absolutely terrible.
Is it just that part of New Jersey or is it the whole state that is like,
you have to get into, so this is the far northwest corner of it. Like but if you are in the bigger city areas, there are breweries there, but it's not like it would be in Michigan, Indiana, Arizona. It's not like that at all. There aren't many breweries.
No.
So
So. Good old New Jersey. What's Chris Christie doing about this?
So don't pick New Jersey for my next beer venture.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, that's terrible. Yeah,
well, and that's not to poop on New Jersey breweries. There's some great ones. Like, Carton Brewing is doing some excellent work. There's one that has a picture of a garage. It might be a garage or something. They have good beer. Like, there's good beer out of there. But yeah, it's just there aren't. It wouldn't be like a beery destination. So New Jersey's coming up. I think I'm going on a golf outing to Kentucky in April. So that'll be a weekend, but it's a dry county, so we haul in all of our own beer. So that's not too bad. It, you know, we're staying in a hotel, and this is after golf beers. So, and we're on the grounds of the golf course, so we're not going anywhere. So I'm going to bring all sorts of wonderful stuff, fill up some growlers, and, you know, that won't be so bad. Then we're the only other trip I have scheduled is Grand Rapids Labor Day weekend. So I will be up in Grand Rapids Labor Day weekend. I will be probably drinking in front of the Ford Presidential Library.
Well, why in front of it? Like
out of a contraband growler. Just there's a nice park in front of it. You sit along the river, and there's a park in front of it. You can high five Betty Ford, and
you can have it in a paper bag. And
yeah, exactly. It's in that drinking the social district or whatever.
Is it okay?
So you get the fancy paper. You get the plastic glass to go. You fill a growler. So you buy a pint and a growler from wherever you're getting beer from, and you go and drink that glass, and suddenly you have the perfect glass for drinking in the social district.
Oh man, you need more social districts there. There aren't.
You save it for the whole weekend too, because we'll be going up to like the Mitten. We go up to the Mitten. We did that last year, and people had so much fun. They said we have to do it again. So we're going up there. We'll get a growler filled. I think that's outside of the social district.
Well, you just take it back to the social district.
Exactly. We already have the cups.
Have you had the pizza at the Mitten?
Yes. And our plan this time is I think we're going to at least pair up and do the pizza flights.
We did that for my birthday one year. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They have a Coney Dog pizza.
Well, the pizzas rotate, so they may or may not have it when I'm there, I guess. But some of them are house pizzas. That one might be one. Yeah. We did get a growler filled last time, and I love those guys. They stickered my growler. I don't most places in Michigan sticker growlers, but everywhere in Indiana did for a long time. So I have growlers just covered in stickers. So I really appreciate that they did that. It's just wonderful.
That's awesome. I love Mitten. They were a lot of fun when they were on the show, too.
And then finally for me, I think I'm actually going to go up to Salt Lake City in a week or two.
Are they going to let you in after you badmouth them so badly?
Oh, yeah. They don't know. They're still America. You know, they're not searching for me. But, you know, Epic Brewing's there. So yes. It's worth the trip. Yeah. There's actually some decent breweries up there. It's just they're so hands tied behind the back with a lot of things. It's kind of disappointing. Watching them have to open a bottle every time at Epic whenever you want something is just kind of sad.
I have a Big Bad Baptist S'mores in my fridge. That was going to be my B.
I have not had that one. I'm sure it's good.
It's good.
Is it? They don't miss with those beers. So
they don't.
Totally worth going there. And you know, you got to show your ID. They got to scan your ID to come in because that's what they do at.
It's like buying weed in California.
I mean,
when we were there in Denver, they opened a couple, they gave us a couple extra so that I could try everything that they had there because I told them how much. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, that location is now closed.
Are they? That's been a couple years since I've been there.
Yeah, you got to go to Salt Lake City now to enjoy it. But I'll tell you, it is peaceful up there. So the Mormons got one thing right, especially when you compare it to Phoenix. But I think that's going to do it here for us. Episode 342, if I'm correct. Rob, what you got to help me here. Sorry.
Yes, 342.
Episode 342 of Better on Draft. Whatever you think. Oh, my God. I can't even remember the line. When do you take it away?
Whatever you think of your beer.
Yeah, that's
whether it's in a bottle or a glass, whatever you think of your beer, we think it's. I'm not going to do that part. You guys do it.
Better on draft.
Better on draft.
Cheers. I just sound silly going, better on draft.